you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Mark's Gospel again. Mark's Gospel. We thank the Lord for what we've already heard. Appreciate the admonition from these young preachers.
Yes, sir.
Wow, they said a lot in 15 minutes, didn't they?
Did.
I think that one boy, I don't think he preached about 7 minutes. Lord, it'd take me that long to clear my throat. I only have 2 speeds, slow and off. And if you fool with me, I'll put it on the other speed. So, we're going to be in Mark chapter 6 this morning. And if you got the Bible with you. I don't know if any of you study the Bible outside of church. If you do, we have a couple of places where we put material. We have a live stream every week, and a lot of them are archived there. I have some bookmarks with those addresses on it. If you're interested in one, I'll be glad to give it to you. We began here yesterday just sort of hanging out in the book of Mark. It has been known as the picture book. We're often drawn to Mark's gospel because he tells story after story after story. And he frames them in a picture frame. As I told you yesterday, like a lot of the pictures on my phone, they often have at least one person in them all the time. They say I have 16 grandchildren, but I get accused of only having one. And she's often in the pictures. But in Mark's pictures, Jesus is always in the pictures. And they share with us various and sundry angles about our Jesus. Yesterday morning, we looked at the lady with the issue of blood. And we saw there a picture about Jesus, our propitiation. This old gal had bad blood in her. It had a short shelf life. It was diseased. It wasn't going to take her anywhere but to a dirt bath. Same blood you got inside of you. But she got an infusion when she touched the finished work of Christ. And she got some blood that doesn't have any shelf life, doesn't have any expiration date on it. It'll take you forever. I love that, don't you? This morning in Mark chapter number 6, there are 4 little verses here that are so powerful that paint a picture about Jesus, our perseverance. You cannot go on in your own strength. There's too many things are trying to stop you. And they shall be successful if you yourself are trying to go on. If I had a subtitle for this message, I'd preach on where to go when you don't feel like going on.
Amen.
Mark 13, our Lord said, "He who perseveres to the end shall be saved." There is no discharge from this army. But there is feelings that will come that will try to sideline you, get you to quit. Depression, hurt feelings, discontentment,
yes, sir.
Discouragement, bitterness,
yes, sir.
Financial and family woes will try to get you to give up. I heard someone some time ago make a stupid statement. Said he'd rather burn out than rust out. What a stupid statement. What would it matter? You still out. Whether you do it burning or rusting, you're out. I'd rather be like Moses' burning bush, ever burning, never consumed. So many things are plaguing God's people in this hour, trying to get them to quit. Brother Joe told us about three last night. Devil come at them from every angle, try to get them to give up and quit. But in these four little verses, we see some elements. And it seems like when they are applied rightly, you hear the good Holy Ghost whisper to you, press on.
Amen.
It won't be long now. The little verses are in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him some of the things. Oh, no, that's what your problem is. You're just telling him some of the things. He wants to hear it all.
Amen.
Both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many comings and goings. They had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran about thither out of the city. Out went them. Came together unto him. Perseverance. Continuing while you're fighting hail by the acre. I was noticing in the context of these four verses some reasons for these feelings. Feelings of giving up. Throwing in the towel. I've just had enough. God, you're on my last nerve. I've had it. One of the reasons I find in this text is a proclamation reason. He has addressed these fellows in verse 30 as apostles. I know that that is a term that is applied to the 12. But the meaning of this word can certainly be applied to us. The little word means one who has been sent on a mission by God. God did not save you to sit on a bench and suck air.
Amen.
But he saved you and he has given you a mission. What is the mission? I notice in Mark chapter 6, same context, verse number 12, it says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. I know that that little word preach there has its connotation of standing behind the pulpit, but it also has connotations even to the women and children here. It means to proclaim a message clearly. If you keep your faith to yourself and don't share it with others, you're a candidate for giving up and throwing in the towel. My daddy was a soul winner, and my daddy taught me to never leave the house unless I had gospel tracts in my pocket. My daddy spent the last 15 years or so of his life, and every day he would go and sit on the bench at the Pancake House in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, behind there. He'd sit there for 8 hours a day, and whoever would sit down on the bench, he'd tell them about Jesus. In his days of dying, I went down to take care of him. I'd fly in every weekend. My mama would set up his doctor's appointments, and I'd go to the doctor with him, and I hated to go to the doctor with him because he's got to talk to everybody in the doctor's office about Jesus. He ain't inviting them to church. He's asking them where they're going when they die. I mean Indian doctors with red dots in the middle of their head. I said, why have you got to do that every time you come over here? He said, because I don't want to have to come over here again. You may talk to that doctor you've been going to see so many times, you may not have to go back over there again. I have found in giving out gospel tracts, it helps to put something inside of them. And I ain't talking about a dollar bill either. There has only been two occasions where I was invited out to eat with someone, and they got out a calculator out of their pocket or out of their purse to calculate the tip. And they were both multimillionaires. Are you listening to me? I like to put a $20 bill in the track when I give it to somebody. You say, you're crazy. Don't pinch me and wake me up. My bug man came just a few days ago. He had never been to my house before. He was a new bug man. And when he got done, I handed him this little gospel tract, one I use all the time, Beautiful Snow. I put a $20 bill in it. It's hanging out. I said, I want to buy you lunch. I said, there's a little story inside that pamphlet that changed my life years ago. He gets in the truck. I continue to clean my car out, minding my own business. As he's pulling out of my driveway, he hits the brake, rolls down the window, and waves it at me. He says, I will look at this later. You listening to me? I was in Maryville, Tennessee, New Year's Eve, when the pipes busted at the motel at 1:30 in the morning. They were beating on the door. Get out, get out, get out. Most everybody on New Year's Eve in that motel, all they had was a brown paper sack. We had four carts. The police stood at the door, kept asking every time I took a cart out, is that it? No, I got one more. And when I left, they turned the power off. We went to the motel next door. There was a gal there, she was doing the night audit, but kindly and graciously, she checked in every person from the other motel. I went back down there later about 2 o'clock in the morning. She had all of her night audit laid out there, and I handed her this tract with a $20 bill in it. I said, I want to thank you for being so sweet to us tonight. I got back on the elevator. I went back up, and at the top of the elevator, I could look down upon the lobby. She had pushed everything of the night audit, and she had this trifold, had it already laid out, had the $20 bill laying way over there, and she was deeply reading this little tract. Are you listening to me this morning? And you know what happened to me standing up there on that level? I heard the good Holy Ghost whisper to me, "Press on! It won't be long now." Amen. Created perseverance in my heart.
Amen.
One of the reasons a lack of perseverance comes, because there's a lack of sharing the gospel with other people, because you're eat up with yourself. But I notice another reason. There was a pallbearer reason. Pallbearer reason. I notice in chapter 6 in verse 29, when his disciples heard of it, heard of what? John the Baptist losing his head. They came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. You know, too many trips to the graveyard make you want to give up. That's what was happening to Murray and Waffle last night. Especially if it is an unexpected death, or an unusual death, or an uncalled for death. It'll often make us want to throw in the towel and give up. This God stuff just ain't working out. And I find for most of the time, it's because of my stupid ideas about what death is. I did not know if you know it or not. I preached a series years ago on death ain't a bad thing. I did not know if you knew that or not. Two or three things you might want to know about death that would whisper to you, press on. It won't be long now. One is in Colossians chapter number 3. Paul said, you remember COVID? You know, we was wearing the mask and not going to church, and we were taking multiple sticks in the arms and all that stuff. You know why we're so scared of COVID? It's going to kill us. I got good news for you. Paul said, "For we are already dead and hidden in Christ." You can't die if you're already dead. Ruh-roh. Are you listening to me? I can take my mask off now. I'm already dead. See, it's our foolish concept about what death is. You got your Bible there this morning, Ecclesiastes. We're talking about pallbearer reason. Oh, I tell you, you go out there to the graveyard enough with the sweetest things you know, you start going to burying grandchildren and burying children and all that. I'm going to tell you, it could get to you quick if you've got a bad concept of what death is. Of course, Joe shared with us last night over there in John chapter 11. He told Martha, he said, "He that believeth in me," here's a classic, "shall never die." Hey, you looking at a guy this morning that it is impossible for me to die. I ain't never going to die. You say, "Preacher, you crazy. We have had them at the church in a coffin." They fooled you. You paid good money for somebody to do the neck check on them and tell them they dead. They ain't dead. They were more alive dead than ever been. Exhaled here, took one step into eternity, caught their breath, and they're still breathing if they're the redeemed. They'll never die. I love this one in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Years ago, my mother-in-law died. She's one of the sweetest ladies probably that I ever knew in those days. So kind, so gracious. And she was in the hospital for a good while. My wife went to take care of her. But she loved Hershey's Kisses. And, of course, my wife inherited that from her. And my wife said, "That's why God gave you two cheeks, so you could put a Hershey Kiss in each one of them at the same time." But after my mother-in-law died at the hospital, she had a little bowl of candy kisses right by the bed. And I noticed, because I was going to preach her funeral, I noticed that over top of the threshold of the hospital room was one of the silver cords out of a Hershey Kiss laying across the threshold. And I come across this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. It's the lifeline. Or the golden bowl be broken. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. He says, when this silver cord is pulled, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth. The body will go back to the dirt.
Amen.
And the spirit, that's the real me, shall return. That little word return is another Hebrew word for fly. Body, dirt. Spirit, flying. Flying to God. And so I got to thinking about candy kisses. Maybe you've had some loved ones die lately. All God did was he pulled a silver cord. And the real person, you didn't know him that deeply on a spiritual level, but he did. That spirit, the real them, the candy kiss, if you would. He left you with a wrapper. But the real person flew to God.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you. I'll not testify for you. My wife and I often, beside our brown recliners, will stack up several Hershey Kiss wrappers between us. And we have never, ever got upset when one or the other were throwing them away. I can't stand to part with that wrapper. Are you listening to me this morning? But one day he's going to bring the kiss back. He's going to put it in a new wrapper. It ain't going to have no silver cord. And we're going to live with him forever. If you don't have that concept of death, going to the funeral home and to the graveyard too many times will cause you to throw in the towel and give it up. Talking about the reasons for these feelings, I notice in the text back over in Mark chapter number 6, there are some resources for these feelings. Preacher, I've been having some of those feelings. What's the use in all this stuff? I'll throw it in. You got any idea what I could do? Yes, awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this now. You might need a doctor's degree in theology to get this. The text tells us in Mark's Gospel chapter 6 and verse number 30, come to him. That's deep, ain't it?
I'm just sick of it. I'm just going to give up.
If you're going to give up, maybe one more time before you give up, come to him.
Amen.
Come to him. It says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. I was interested in that little word, gathered. It means to come in a union around one particular subject, person, or thing. It means to take two opposing things and twist them together until they begin to be one. You can't tell where one begins or the other one ends. If you feel like you want to give up this morning, you go to twisting yourself around Jesus. Become one with Him. Don't be able to tell where He begins and you end. I'm telling you, you'll hear the good Holy Ghost whisper to you, press on! It won't be long now. Come to Him. I notice in verse 30 another resource for these feelings. Tell it to Him. Just puke it up all over Him. Tell Him, I've had enough of you. I've had enough of this religious stuff. It ain't working. All they're doing is cutting my guts out and handing them to me on a platter. Tell it to Him. He says in verse number 30, both what they had done, they told Him all things, both what they had done. Hey, we've been preaching and all it's costing us, we get our heads cut off. They told it all to Him. Seems like to me that this would speak of sweet hour prayer. Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go? He is the source of all our perseverance. You cannot go on in your own strength. Too many things are trying to stop you. You must go on in His strength. I notice also in this text, not only are there some reasons for these feelings, some resources for these feelings, but I notice there are some resolves for these feelings. I notice in verse number 31, He asked them to resolve to come apart. And He saith unto them, come ye yourself apart into a desert place, rest a while. Amen. If you're having those feelings, you know something good for you to do. This is really deep. This may be way over your head. Try doing nothing. That's what He told them to do. He said, just come over here and rest a while. Amen. Come apart. Haven't we been told often, either come apart or you'll come apart. Of course, I don't know about you. I've never seen in my 50 plus years of preaching, I've never seen anybody who had a Bible that was coming apart and they were coming apart. You listening? Come apart. Solitary place. Secret place of the Almighty. Much time spent with God is never wasted time. Preacher, if you have a choice between going out, knocking on doors, and getting alone with God in your prayer closet with your Bible, get alone with God.
Are you listening to me? Oh, come apart. He says also, resolve to rest a while. I was interested in that rest a while. It has the same connotation that Jesus has used before of the take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I hear people all the time say, I'll tell you, me and Jesus are buds. Him and I, we pull the load together. He pulls 50 and I pull 50. One small problem. He said, take my yoke upon you. Yoke ain't got an S on it. He says, I ain't got but one yoke to this wagon. If you want to hook up and pull it, He says, I'll watch you make a mess of it. He says, or you can leave it alone and I'll pull it. Well, what do you want me to do? He said, my yoke is easy. The little word easy is a little Greek word that we get our little word recreation or vacation out of it. Wow. He says, let me hook up to it, and you go eat grass or you go on vacation, and I'll pull the whole cotton picking thing. I love that, don't you? Resolve for your feelings. I notice there is a repetition of these feelings. He says in verse 31, come ye yourselves apart in desert place and rest a while. And there were many comings and goings, very busy. Says they didn't even have no leisure time to eat. They're going and coming. It's in situations like this. I've heard Brother Steve say it many times, you better get all you can, and you better can all you get. You listening to me? You ought to take you some notes and can up some of this, take it back to the house. You'll need it. Times of coming. He says in verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and they ran afoot thither out of the city, and out went them and came together, and they just kept coming to him. See, this is not a one-time thing. You got to get up every morning, come to him. Get up the next morning, come to him. Get up the next morning, come to him. Walk with him, come to him. Walk with him, come to him. You can't take a day off. You say, I don't feel like going on. Go on until you feel like it. I don't feel like going to church. I am amazed at this hour at the churches I go to where the preacher's wife don't ever come. Go on. I don't feel like going. Go to church until you feel like it. I don't feel like praying. Pray till you feel like it. I don't feel like getting in my Bible. Get in your Bible till you feel like it. I don't feel like telling nobody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus till you feel like it. You never can tell. You might hear the good Holy Ghost say, press on. Won't be long now. I close with the review of the facts. See, all of this stuff, I feel so discouraged. I just feel so bitter. See, all of those are feelings. I've eaten pizza late at night before I thought I was going to die before morning. But it was just a feeling. It wasn't a fact. I would confront you this morning with the facts. Here's the facts. In this perseverance thing, God is going to send a psychic test. The devil will cause burnout and giving up here long before it's out here. Here is the antidote for that psychic test. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That little word renew there, exchange. Give up your stinking thinking. You ain't never had a good thought at all. If you think it, you ought to stop and set it aside and get over here in this book and find out what he thinks. Psychic test. There's a proclamation test. Satan will keep your mouth shut. He'll tell you that you're just going to hurt their feelings. You're just going to run your kid off. You're going to run your grandchild off if you bring up that subject. You're going to make them uncomfortable. Here's the antidote. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If there is a hell, your children, your grandchildren are going there if they die without Christ. I'd believe I'd wake them up in the middle of the night and tell them one more time. And then there's a personal test.
Satan would love for you to leave off your family time around the Word of God, your church time, your personal time in the Word of God. Here's the antidote. He said he has placed the Word above his name. If you've got a choice of taking Junior to play ball or play whatever, I don't care if it's play music, and go and hear the preaching of the Word of God, I'd can the other and go hear some preaching. Are you listening to me? You never can tell. You might hear the Holy Ghost say, press on. Won't be long now. When we have set our minds upon Him, when we're telling others about Him, and we're spending much time in the Word, these words might be a help to us. There's glory in my soul. Since Jesus took control, He placed within my heart a happy song. The joy bells sweetly ring while of His love I sing. Press on, it won't be very long. He fills my way with cheer. With Him I have no fear. He guides my weary steps along the way. I'm glad He promised me a mansion full and free. Press on, it won't be very long. Heaven, I am told, the streets are pure as gold. Oh, what a lovely place to make my home. A united will be. We'll shout the victory. Press on. It won't be very long. Press on. It won't be very long until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on. It won't be very long. Jesus is our perseverance. And when He's placed rightly in the life, He will persevere through us. We're standing this morning. I don't know if Brother Steve got anybody can play or sing for us. Oh, yeah, that's right. Julie's here. They want to come or sing something, they can.